right. Happy Mother's Day. Okay. Hold on. Let's try that again. There's more people in this room. Happy Mother's Day. Very nice. Now give yourself a round of applause for being a mama. All right. First of all, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I have been told under the penalty of death, if I don't make this announcement, I'm in trouble. If you look in your bulletin today, you'll see this little slip of paper. One thing that we've been doing over the last, how many of you did not get a bulletin today and therefore you did not get one of these little ballot things? Anybody not get one? Because if so, we could got some ushers in the back that can bring those to you. Just want to make sure everybody gets one of these things filled out. It says at the top, please let us know which of the following you would prefer by placing an X on the line. One thing that we've been doing during COVID when we brought Sunday school back, we've been meeting in the gymnasium, and the teachers of the adult Sunday school classes have been rotating in there. And one thing that the leadership team and pastors and deacons are wondering, is it time to move back to our individual classroom settings? Some people have requested that. Some people have made mention that they kind of like the gym format. Some people have said, hey, I have a hard time hearing in the gym because of all the echoes and stuff that goes on in there. So if you would just please fill that out. There's a basket in the back. I believe John Borff is going to have a basket in the back for the offering and then one for the ballots. If you could put a check, or maybe if you want to add a comment to this somewhere, that would be great. So if you could make sure that you do that, that would be wonderful. All right. Alicia, did I get it right? Alicia's not in here. Well, praise God. Okay. So we'll get on there. All right. How many of you, by raised hand, have an awesome mama story that you would love to share this morning in church? And by raised hand, you'd love to share a mama story this morning in church. You're not going to be able to do it, by the way, but how many of you have a story you'd love to share, if given the opportunity? Okay, I've got a mama story I'd like to share. Mom's great, but she told me yesterday, no stories. So, of course, that's a green light for me to tell a story. I can remember this like it was yesterday. I was probably, I want to guess I was maybe about 7 years old. And it was at the old church on 2200 East Hannah Avenue. And I remember, here's the thing. I don't remember what I was doing, but I remember what my mom did. She, how many of you can relate to that? Okay, I don't remember what I was doing. I was making a mess or something in church, probably making noise, probably playing around. I remember this pain in my ear being drugged from the church service. I believe it was a Sunday evening, if I remember correctly. I don't remember anything after that. I'm pretty sure I blacked out. But I don't know what I was doing. But whatever it wasn't appropriate as far as mom was concerned. So she took care of business. So she grabbed me by the ear. She pulled me out of the room. And like I said, I don't remember what happened after that. I probably blacked out because it was very painful. How many of you had an experience like that with your mother? How many of you have not only been the recipient of that, but you've had the opportunity to kind of dole that out on your kids, misbehaving in church? Okay, several hands. Very good. My wife's hand went up. Sorry, guys. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Today, believe it or not, Mother's Day is not an easy Sunday for a lot of people. We've got a lot of people in here who have mothers. The one good thing and one of the consistent thing that we have is we all have had mothers at one time in our life, right? Some have gone on to be with the Lord. Some relationships they're not what God would have for us with our mothers, and they're strained. We need to certainly pray about that. But everyone can have a memory of their mother. Some of you folks have had mothers and fathers that were not your biological mothers and fathers, but meant more to you than a biological mother and father could have ever meant, just because of the way that they impacted your life. It's hard sometimes to think about not having your own mother be there to be that nurturing life force in your life, but at the same time, God supplies the need, right? God's always there. God gives us exactly what we need. In 1 Corinthians 13, when I think of mom, my mother, of course, but also just mom in general, I think of a loving person, a person who sacrifices, a person who doesn't put themselves first, but puts their children first. A true mom does that. In 1 Corinthians 13, starting out in verse 4, and we're not going to read the whole chapter, but just a portion of it today. Verse 4 says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffering, does not rejoice in righteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And in verse 8, the beginning of that, it says, love never fails. And then it goes on to say, but if there are other things, they will fail, or they will pass away, or they will become irrelevant. But the bottom line is, love never fails. Yeah, amen. Love never fails. True love never fails. This world's love fails all the time. I love you. I go to marriage vows. The marriage ends in less than a year. How many have heard stories like that and you think, well, how could they have genuinely loved somebody if they weren't willing to stick it out, make it work, seek out help, seek out wise counsel? This love in this world will fail all the time, every time. But the love that God talks about in His Word never fails. You can take it to the bank. And if you have a mother who expressed that kind of love in your upbringing, or right now if you're a child and still living at home, and your mom sacrificially gives and provides and constantly puts herself on the back burner. I love what it says in the beginning of this passage that we've just read. It's not jealous, it does not brag, it is not arrogant, and does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffering, does not rejoice in unrighteousness. These are all the things that even if a person deep down inside loves somebody, if they have these other things going on, if they're arrogant, if they're proud, if they don't bear up with some of the things, the shortcomings that a person has, the fact that they love a person will never get in. You'll never give that person an opportunity, because those things, those character traits, will build a wall between you and the one that should love you. It says that love rejoices in the truth. Where's the truth found? The truth is found in God's Word. Things that are holy, things that are righteous, it rejoices in those things. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Listen, when you love somebody, when you genuinely love somebody, there's not a whole lot you can't bear when you love. There's not a whole lot that you won't believe when you genuinely love. When a person fails and they fall back, but it's your son or it's your daughter, there's nothing. You want to have that hope that things are going to be different going forward because you genuinely love the individual. It endures all things. Look, moms, dads alike, you don't give up on the ones you love. You don't give up. No matter what the situation is, you won't give up on the ones you love, whether that's a wife, a spouse, a husband. And I know sometimes it can be stressful. But we've got to be committed to the love that God talks about in His Word. Many of you are mothers. When I look around this room and I see you guys, we have so many good mamas in this room. You have exampled that time after time after time again, sacrificially giving for your children, putting their needs before your own. What an awesome example. I look at these young gals around here, and of course my wife would be included in that group. She's a young gal, not as young as she used to be. But when I think about all the little kids running around, is there anything more adorable than the little kids? And I know moms, look, you're going to get wore out from time to time. I know Christy did, but, you know, looking back at our kids when they were little, those were precious, precious times. Don't forget that. Mother's Day is the third highest attended church service of the year. Number one is Christmas time, around Christmas time, and then Easter. And, you know, when I look around here, there's a lot of folks here. And you know why you're here? You're here because it's Mama's Day, right? And you're trying to support your mom and love your mom, and my family's all... it just cracks me up. I'll get to what's funny later. But I don't want to say it right now. I'll say it later. But Mother's Day is the third most attended church service of the year. You know, I looked through some passages. Believe it or not, Mother's Day is not easy to do and not easy to prepare for, because we've heard it all, we've seen it all, and there's nothing new, right? So we're gonna step up and we're gonna talk about God and how He's like, kind of like a mother. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 11, it says that God is like a mother eagle who over her young, who soars over her young. Like an eagle that stirs up the nest, that hovers over its young. That's kind of what God's like. He's always around us. He's always looking out for us. He's always looking out for our best interests. Some people in this room, I won't mention any names, but have been called a helicopter mom. You know, God's kind of like that, Lori Koppel. Anyway, she's been called a helicopter. Matter of fact, she's called herself a helicopter mom from time to time. But God's kind of like that with us. He hovers over us. He's always with us, and He's always there to support us, just like Mom was. Mom was there to pick us up when we fell down, just like God is always there to pick us up when we fall down. God will never forget His children, like a mother will never forget her nursing child. Isaiah 49:15 says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb?" In a way, that's an attribute of God. God had compassion on us. We know that in John 3:16. It's a very familiar passage of God's word. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God is just like a mother that's always there by our side. Our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, is always around us. Mary, when we look in the Bible, a lot of times on Mother's Day, Mary is always one of the ones that gets talked about. Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's many Marys in the Bible, but specifically Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary was obedient to God even though she was going to be treated by some like an unwed pregnant girl. And you know, some of you may have fit that bill. That may have been your history. Let it never be said that, you know, anything that, any bad decision that we make, God's got grace for that. He has love for that. He wants to be there with you through those trying times. But Mary was like that, even though in the Jewish tradition, she could have been put to death by stoning because of that. But she was willing to do what God told her He wanted of her. She said, "Do it unto me as you have said." I don't want to look up the passage there, but Jesus washed, or she, Mary, watched Jesus, her son, be crucified. Now, we're going to touch on this a little bit later this morning. But I want you to be thinking about some critical things about that as we go through some of this other stuff. And that is, she saw his punishment. Can you imagine, as a mother, having to witness the crucifixion of your son? Can you imagine that? Think about that for just a moment. You know, some moms fall apart when their son falls down and gets a boo-boo, or their daughter skins their leg after falling off a bike or something like that. She saw the punishment. Not only did she see the punishment, but she saw the condition of her son. The condition of her son being hung on a cross in the brutal fashion that he was. She saw that. She saw that with her own eyes. And then to have to watch the culmination of that, she watched her son die. She watched the life go out of her son. And she had to witness that for herself. You know, this would apply to fathers too, but a mother should never have to watch her son be punished. Should never have to watch and see the condition of him after he was beaten, after he was scarred, after he was run through with his hands and his feet and his side. And then the culmination of that, she saw him die. John chapter 19, let's turn there in the Gospel of John chapter 19, verse 25, starting there. Therefore the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. In verse 26, it says, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple that he loved, which is the Apostle John, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to John, behold your mother. From that hour, John took her into his household and cared for Mary, presumably until she passed. We learn from Christ's example how we are to revere and take care of our mothers. You know, Mother's Day is not only a celebration of you as mothers bringing us into the world, but it's also a celebration of how we as sons and daughters get to care for our mothers in your aging years or at times that you need us. And, you know, my mom needs me from time to time, and it is a privilege to stand in that gap, even though it's very difficult at times. When you lose a spouse like my mother did, being together for 49 years, it's hard. It creates a vacuum in your life that has been such a steady part of your life that the mother or father that's left behind needs somebody, and it usually takes an army of somebodies to fill the gap. So whether it was like Jane, who lost her husband very early on, or whether it was like my mother and so many of you others that lost your husbands or spouses later on in life, it takes an army, it takes a church, it takes a body of believers to fill in the gap for those folks. And we need to be diligent and we need to be intentional about that. As we celebrate mothers, we also need to celebrate the responsibility that we have to care for mothers at a particular point in their life. We've got to get that right. Amen. We've got a lot of different kinds of mothers in this room. We have a lot of women in a lot of unique situations. As I look around here, some of you have a traditional home. There's a husband and wife. There's kids. There's that. But we can't forget the ones that are in the margins. We have to meet the need within this body of believers. We have a lot of women who are single mothers. We have a lot of women that have special needs children. My wife and Leroy, we have a lot of mothers who have special needs husbands. And sometimes we're kind of high maintenance, you know, and we need to pray for those mothers and definitely lift them up. We have young mothers, as I've already talked about. We have old mothers. We have mothers with one child. And then we have mothers who take it and fathers who take the personal responsibility of replenishing the earth single family-wise. Obviously, you know the Crandalls. That's easy. But I think the Garthwaites are getting close. And we have mothers who love unconditionally. They get it right. They do the right things. And maybe we have some mothers here where maybe you're convicted a little bit, and maybe you could do a little bit better in that area of unconditionally loving. And we've got mothers who have grandmothers who help raise grandbabies. Amen? And we need to know how we can go alongside them and support them and love on them in those situations. We have women who would like to be mothers but cannot for whatever reason. And we can't forget those women who want to be mothers as well. That would be a very demanding kind of a thing. You know, Christy and I, when we first started out, when we first started trying to have kids, it didn't happen right away. And, you know, we were wondering, hey, man, what's wrong? What, is something wrong with you? Is something wrong with me? What's going on? And, you know, after some doctor's appointments and some exams and things like that, you know, God knew he had a plan. And I think it was 12 or 13 months after starting to try, we, you know, got pregnant with Alyssa. But for some people, your struggles have been more than that. It's a little bit more intensive. You've gone through some things where it almost seems like it's impossible. Let me tell you something. There's women in the Bible talk about that. I'm not going to talk about any of those women today that had to pray and didn't have children, but God miraculously did that. There's a couple of examples in God's Word, and we could go there today, but for time's sake, we just don't have time. But you know what? God is faithful. Maybe adoption. Look, there's a lot of kids out there that need good families. In Leviticus 19:3, if you'll turn there with me, everyone shall revere your mother and father. It's pretty obvious what it says. In Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged. A commandment with a promise. We're supposed to honor and revere our mothers. What does God's word say about women and mothers? Turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Let's go ahead and read through this together, if we could. Starting in verse 25, and we'll read down through verse 31. That's Proverbs 31 and verse 25 starting out. Now, if you want to know what a good woman, a good wife, a good mother is going to do, or at least in part, this is a great place to turn. We've been going through Proverbs in our Sunday school class. Proverbs 31, starting out in verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens up her mouth in wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, as he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and allot her works. Praise her in the gates. You know, I put some bullet points down over this passage. I thought to myself, your work for the Lord will be your praise. A woman who is trying to be all she can be for God, all she can be for her family, that will be her praise. Her husband will appreciate her. Men, we need to make sure that we we communicate, and I'm not talking about occasionally, we need to effectively communicate our love and adoration for our wives, especially the times that they're trying to live out their faith in their family's life, in their work life, and the way that they're trying to be a good wife to you as husbands. We need to make sure that we make that a part of everyday life in our homes. Her children will praise her. Listen, there is nothing more special than when your kids compliment you about something you've done or the way you've acted or whatever. But this is what'll happen when you're the kind of woman that God wants you to be. Her respect for God will shine to her glory, always keeping God at the forefront. Her strength and dignity will be her glory. How many of you have been touched intimately by a strong Christian woman? I certainly have. I've had a lot of Christian women in my life. I've had a good, very solid Christian grandmother, my mom's mom. I've had a solid Christian mother in my mother. I've been influenced greatly by my wife, who's the mother of my children. And I have nothing but humility when I say she's certainly the better part of me. The future does not scare her because she trusts in the Lord. That's the only way that can happen, right? Sometimes the future is unsure. It's very unstable at times. Sometimes in this life, we can get a whole bunch of stuff going on. We don't know what's going to happen next, but we can take assurance in the fact that God definitely does, and He'll be there. He'll be there to protect us. He'll be there to watch over us, kind of like our mothers. You know, if you're a mother who, or a woman who would like to be a mother, and you fall short in some of these areas we've talked about, you don't always put God first, you're not always looking to see how you can glorify Him in your life, or as a mother to your children, you know, don't be at all upset that you find yourself in those places, because number one, look, we all fall short, right? And from time to time, as we look around and we assess our own lives and what we're doing, we can all look back and say, man, I wish I would have done that different. I wish I wouldn't have this character trait that my kids keep talking about. I feel like I fall short all the time as a father, as a husband, and sometimes as a son. It's okay to fall short, but recognize that you fall short. We need to get better. It says, do you feel that you have fallen short as a mother, as a daughter, as a wife sometimes? It's okay. It's okay that you feel like you've fallen short, because God has a plan for you. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 6, therefore humble yourselves. And listen, if you look throughout Scripture, you'll find that the road to recovery always starts with one thing, and that's humility. Are you willing to humble yourself before an almighty God and say that, God, I can't do this myself? We won't turn here today. We'll read this passage. But, you know, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 went on, wretched man that I am, he says toward the end of that chapter. The things I know I should do, those are the things I don't do. The things I know I shouldn't do, those are the things that I do. He says it constantly. He's trying to communicate that this flesh that we have, we do fall short. We need to humble ourselves. I think it's interesting that he uses the words, wretched man that I am. And here he is, the Apostle Paul, called to a specific thing. Called to preach to the gospel to the Gentile nations. In 1 Peter, away from that for just a moment, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 6 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares or anxiety on him, because he cares for you. God loves you. If you fall short in some of these areas, as motherhood and even for fathers, We got to know we've got a God that loves us. Amen? He wants to see us go to the next level. And if we just humble ourselves, he'd be there for us. In James 4, let's turn there real quick. James 4, verses 6 and 7, but he gives a greater grace. And therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We've got everything in our tool bag to do what God wants us to do, at least to start on the right path. And that is the first road to recovery, is getting on our face before God, understanding that he's our God. He can help us, but we've got to humble ourselves first. And it starts out by saying, look, Tony, I can't do it, God. I have to convince myself of that. God has to convince me of that with the work of the Holy Spirit, number one. Number two, I've got to go to God and say, look, I can't do this. I can't do this apart from you. And I am not going to try to do it apart from you. And that's the next thing. Casting all our cares on him because he cares for us. A couple things. The road to recovery starts with humility. Absolutely. We need to be humble. We need God's grace in our life. I need God's grace in my life. As mothers and fathers, we need God's grace in our lives constantly. We will screw up. It's not a question of if. It's just when. And how many times will we do it? We'll mess up. We'll fall short. Submission to God includes studying God's word. Where do we seek out wise counsel from first? It is only found through his word. And thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And we have an advocate with the Father in 1 John chapter 2. If you'll turn with me there just for a moment. 1 John chapter 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. I am thrilled and I am overjoyed as I was preparing for this. I was thinking, you know, God could not have blessed in my life more with my grandmothers on both sides of the family. With my mother, with my mother-in-law, with my wife. I was overwhelmed in the fact that I was reading through the notes and kind of pondering what was happening. God has surrounded me with grandmothers, mothers, a wife that's the mother of my children, with the most awesome mothers I could ever have been surrounded with. I am so thankful. And then I was thinking about our Lord. And it's going to be a little hard for me not to get a little emotional as I read through this. But I was thinking about my Savior when he was on the cross. And he was dying. In the hour, going back to what we read earlier, going back to that moment which he's on the cross, he's in tremendous pain. He's dying as he's hanging there. Think about that for just a moment. As the blood was running out of his body, as the blood was running out of his body, as his life was draining out of his body, he thought of his mother. That is such a special thing. his concern was just taking care of mom. And with that, I was thinking, how precious must mothers be to our Heavenly Father, our Savior Jesus Christ, if the last thoughts going through his mind were the well-being of his mom. Mothers, you are so loved. You are so blessed of God. Every person who will ever be in this life will have a mother who will love them and cherish them. As his mother's grief was raging, and think about her condition in that moment, he was there for her. He knew that that time would pass. He knew that he was going to ask the Apostle John to take care of her for the rest of her life. And that's exactly what the Apostle John did. Sons and daughters, we have ladies in our midst, older ladies, that maybe they have sons and daughters that don't watch about their mom. They don't watch about their mom and dad like they should. We've got to fill in that gap. We need to step up. We need to care for our mothers and dads who need people to love them and care for them and are deserving of our love and our time and our attention. We've got to be there for them. Amen? Maybe your relationship with your mom or dad is not what it should be. You need to mend those fences. It's important. That relationship is important to your life in this life. It's critical. Make that right. Make a commitment to make that right. Moms, maybe your relationship with your kids is not what it should be, and you played a part in that. And maybe that's a relationship that you need to reconcile and you need to work at. Listen. Don't wait for somebody to come to you regardless of the situation. Don't wait for that. You be proactive. You take those steps. You make sure you're doing the right thing. If you could please bow with me just for a moment. I'd like to ask some questions, and I'd like you to respond in some way. Raised hand or whatever. How many of you moms feel like sometimes you're exhausted and you feel like you fall short? If you're in that category, if you just lift your hand up, just real quick, put it back down. A lot of moms in the room. You know, that's a start of humility right there with every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Just to respect others. How many of you, as husbands, could treat your wives, the mother of your children, better? And you're going to work hard at that. And that's going to be a priority in your life going forward. How many of you fathers would be willing to put your hand up, put your hand back down, just to say that? Amen. You know, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'd like to invite the band to come up and just be in your place. And Jane, if you could play something softly on the piano, I'd appreciate that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, how many of you would like to say, look, Lord, I'm not the mother that I think I should be. And today I'm willing to humble myself to my Lord and Savior, and commit to prayer and reading of God's Word to be the best possible mom I could be. Now look, a lot of you guys are getting this right. Several hands went up. Thank you so much. You know, I'd like to let you look up here for just a moment before we close in a word of prayer. I'd like everybody to look up here. I debated about saying something about this because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but at the same time, I think it's so appropriate for me. Alan Crosman. Many of you don't know who Alan Crosman was. But she was Bill Crosman and Jimmy Crosman. And I know she prayed for her sons. Faithfully, she prayed for her sons. And Billy accepted the Lord at a very early age. Faithfulness, the faithfulness that Alene showed in praying for her boys is starting to bear the first fruits. And Jimmy, became my brother in Christ on April the 8th of 2021. And I'm so thankful, but more than that, his mother's prayers were answered, and she's not been with us for several years. At least one of her prayers was answered. Jimmy's got other brothers. Therefore, Billy and Jimmy have a mission field with their other brothers. And I am so thankful that that is a true statement today. And I know Donna and Leroy, you prayed for Jimmy and the boys. And you know what? Your prayers are answered. And thank God that they were answered in that miraculous way. Never give up on your kids. And I believe Alene Crosman is worshiping today, her first Mother's Day in heaven, knowing that one more of her sons has accepted Christ as a personal Savior. Praise God. Amen. And Jimmy will be getting baptized next week by Pastor Paybody after the Sunday morning service. So be in prayer for that. If you could all stand with me. I think it would be appropriate. And maybe there is, God is, might be moving. You know, we never want to take, God, it says his word never returns void. And if you just want somebody to pray with you, it doesn't matter whether you're a mom or dad or whatever. Come on down here. We would love to talk to you. If today is the day of salvation for you and you'd like to come down here, we can get somebody to sit down with you and pray with you. If you just want to be a better mom, a better dad, and you want to come down here, there's nothing special about these plywood steps and this carpet, but it's part of the humbling process. So we're just going to wait just 1 minute as Jane plays quietly. If you want to come down here and talk to somebody, feel free to do so in the next minute. Bible says today is a day of salvation. If you feel God and the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, don't let this opportunity go by. If you just need some encouragement in the Lord or just want somebody to pray with you, come on forward. Don't hesitate. If now's not the time, that's good. That's okay too. Special for you moms today as you exit, if you're not staying for walk group, grab a pink rose in the vase at the back, as you exit the door. If you're staying for walk group, go ahead and leave them there until you exit after walk group. Also, please don't forget your survey to drop that in. Let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll sing our last song together. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you so much for the moving of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. We thank you for your word. It's strong. We thank you for the people in our lives that make a difference. And Father, most of all, today, we thank you for moms. I have been so touched in my life with the women in my life. I'm so grateful for them, Father. Thank you. Thank you for everything that you've given to me as it relates to this. Father, I thank you for just being you, loving me, wanting to take the anxiety away from me, wanting to bear the burdens of my life. So that I don't have to bear them, God. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for our pastors, Lord, and our leadership team, our deacons, our chairman, Asa, willing to step up and lead the church in a way that makes sense, Father, always relying on your word. Father, I'm so thankful for them. Father, as we go today, keep us safe. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you. Thank you for saving us with your Son, Lord Jesus. Thank you for Jesus' perfect example of looking after mom, even though he was in the darkest moment of this human life. Father, we thank you so much for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.